That was Dan Orlovsky, a.k.a. Buzz Killington, there with his take on why it's the wrong time to play Drake May. And listen, what he was saying about the team, none of that's incorrect. Like, very bad offensive line, not good receivers, not good separation, not great at catching passes. All of that's true. But this is the team that you have. This is what you're dealing with. This is it. And there's not going to be a perfect time this year. Orlovsky said that they should maybe redshirt two seasons before they actually put him in. And I think when people do that, it's more commentary on what this team is, what Belichick left it as, what Elliott Wolf did or didn't do in the offseason to improve it, all of that. There's doubters out there. There's doubters of Drake May. There's doubters of the team and that Drake May is going to be able to elevate them. And I think that there's some merit to that. I mean, there's been other rookie quarterbacks who weren't able to elevate bad teams over the years. You know, there's a whole list of them we can get to. Some who were good right away, some who played right away and were not good, some who didn't play right away and were good, and the opposite of that as well. So there's all sorts of different examples. Part of me thinks that, like, with the law of averages, you got three rookie quarterbacks in the league right now. They're all pretty good. You're kind of due for, like, a bad rookie quarterback. You know what I mean? Like, one of these guys is due to kind of suck. And so far, I mean, I don't think Nix is going to be some superstar. I think Daniels might be. And I think Williams has potential. Maybe he could be someday. He's not yet. But so far, all three of those guys look pretty good. They look a lot better than, you know, the last five QB draft in the first round, which was Trevor Lawrence and Mac Jones and Justin Fields and all those guys, Trey Lance and Zach Wilson. All those guys kind of sucked in their first year except Mac. And now it's like they're all kind of good, except for the guys who aren't playing, obviously, or who's injured. And now here's Drake May. And just law of averages, I don't know, what have you maybe thinking, if one of these guys was going to suck, it's probably this guy on the terrible team.
What if we take the law of averages, though, to beyond years?
Okay.
So let's just say over the course of years, maybe there's due a really great quarterback class to balance out some of those really putrid where all of the quarterbacks weren't very good.
Sure, and right? I think you could say in 2019 that's what you had there with Burrow and Tua and Herbert, yeah, and those guys. I mean, that's where it wouldn't that be the...
But then 21 is a weird one because there's all the question, like Mac and all these guys, and right, Trevor Lawrence, people aren't sure whether they think he's good or not or worth the money. I'm just saying there's a way to spin it that way. I would also say, I thought coming in there were three franchise quarterbacks. I firmly believed my whole offseason.
2020, not 2019.
I know you differed on all of this, that you didn't really love any of them. You thought this was kind of overrated in the spring.
I did think so. I thought it was going to be more like 2021 than 2020.
Because I argued whoever falls to three, take him, because there's three franchise quarterbacks. I didn't really care who it was. Now, Bo Nix is the... I didn't think he was that good.
Mm-hmm.
And he may not be. He's benefiting from experience. He might be benefiting from Sean Payton, because there's still a lot of people that think Sean Payton is a pretty high-end play caller, mm-hmm, offensive mind scheme. So, yeah. And plus, law of averages don't matter. Like, the reality
true
is,
yeah,
he's either
really
good or not good.
Yeah,
right?
He's good or he's not.
The one question I have, which seems to be altering things, is this idea that how many quarterbacks that are actually good quarterbacks are broken? And it's like, maybe they were just bad.
Right.
They were going to break no matter what. Now, we're trying to shift some of that narrative with guys like Sam Darnold, who was broken, right? Seeing ghosts. He's the ultimate broken quarterback who is now leading arguably the best team in football.
Mm-hmm.
And some people think could be like an MVP candidate with,
yeah,
Kevin O'Connell.
Sure.
And even Baker Mayfield bounced around, had some ups and downs in Cleveland, then bounced in Carolina and the Rams, the whole thing.
And Baker didn't start right away. He sat the first 3 weeks behind Tyrod Taylor. A lot of people say, oh, yeah, he got in there, started right away. Not true. He didn't start the week
And he was
four.
Good.
Yeah.
Didn't he have, like, 28 touchdowns or something?
Yeah, and he won seven games that year.
Remember he did the commercial with Brady, where they were like, it was like almost a passing of the torch commercial for NFL 100 or something like that. But these guys that bounce around were getting some new, even Geno Smith, to some degree, and his, you know, reclamation later in his career,
yeah,
is changing it. Because for the most part, we always had guys good or guys stinks, right? Like, they kind of made a divide relatively early in their career, and mm-hmm, we stuck with it. Now it feels like there's these more layered stories of quarterback development. But the bottom line is, they were three franchise quarterbacks in the draft. I'm sticking with it. Two of them have already shown they might be franchise quarterbacks. And on Sunday, the third will begin that process.
617-779-7937 is your phone number. Let's go out to the phones. Coach is in New Hampshire. He's got a thought on the offensive coordinator and the play calling. Go ahead, Coach.
Yes, before I get to that, another quick point.
Mm-hmm.
Three organizations, the Bears, the Broncos, and the Commanders, decided to go with their rookie quarterback. And collectively, as we all know, they're 10-5. It's almost arrogance to me that the Patriots still think they're their smartest coaches, smartest organization in the room to kind of do it their way. Their way has us off to a 1-4 start. Okay, my second point. If I'm a defensive coordinator in the NFL, based on the offense I'm looking at for the New England Patriots, I put all 12 players in the rectangular box that's no deeper than 10 yards deep and obviously 53.5 yards wide.
Mm-hmm.
It is ridiculous. Oh, maybe you have to cover a sliver of the sideline when we take an occasional throw out of bounds throw. Our offense, it's not only really not well coordinated, but we do not, think about it, we do not attack the middle of the football field beyond 10 yards.
Not true, Coach. They attacked the middle of the field with time running out and no timeouts at the end of the game. They were right in the middle of that field. No one could get a hand on anybody in the middle of that field. That's true, and I'm being sarcastic, obviously, but that I did notice that in that last game. Everything was on the sidelines, mm-hmm. and Brissett just couldn't put the ball there. So, like, you know, we'll see if that ends up being what they continue to do. I thought the other part of his call was interesting, too. The Patriots always did have sort of this air during the Belichick years of our way's better, we know what we're doing, you guys don't know what you're doing, and this yep. is how it is. I feel like that left with Belichick. I don't think that this group has that. I don't. They have their plan, obviously, and it's different from the way the Bears and the Commanders and the Broncos are all doing it, sure. And different from what the Falcons did. The Falcons spent and also drafted a quarterback, so they did everything. They did all the things. But, like, I don't look at the Patriots now as thinking we're so much smarter than everybody else the way we're doing our quarterback. It's we don't know what we're doing, so we're going to take our time. That's more what it seems like to me.
Yeah. That was a question that I've had. Do you believe there was a plan?
Yes.
When and what? Like,
I don't know if there was an exact date, but I do think that the plan was to ride Brissett as long as you possibly can and until it was just untenable and you were on the verge of a mutiny in the locker room or whatever, and you there was no other choice but to put the kid in. I think that was the plan.
Yeah, I'm not even sure there was a plan.
You don't even think that was the plan?
I think Brissett was here in case we need to ride him as long as we can.
Well, then they did.
Like, I think they were flying by the seat of their pants, quite honestly. And I'm not saying that's a terrible idea. I actually think that's what coaching is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, come in with a loose structure, but if one is really bad or one is, you know what I mean? Adjust right. on the fly. Isn't that coaching? Looking at your talent? You can't just assume that, oh, David Andrews was really good last year. What if he sucks this year? Like, that's coaching. That's taking your talent and devising the best scheme and game plans and starting lineups or whatever.
Right, but they weren't doing that with their best talent. That's the point.
Isn't oh, I don't
like
know.
Jacoby Brissett wasn't their best talented quarterback, and they didn't play him for. They played him for 5 weeks.
But
so that was the plan, I think.
I don't know what they thought of the quarterbacks because they've said so much. I know Gerard Mayo likes to say,
"How about what we saw?"
Well, yeah, but that's us.
Yeah.
We don't get to make the decision. They see it their own way,
mm-hmm.
and they saw different things at different times. Like, let's just use...
But you just said you didn't believe Mayo when he said that Brissett gave him the best chance to win those first 5 weeks, right?
Yeah, I don't.
Okay, so if they thought that May gave him the better chance to win...
Who's they?
Mayo That's and the my... rest of the... Well, Mayo first and foremost, but everybody.
I think Mayo would have started Drake May all along. I think there was a divide there.
I kind of think that, too.
Now, how big the divide was he one against 3-4, how that all played out. But I just don't believe... Because they made it sound, when they started to emphasize plan, it almost was an outright to not answer questions. Well, we have a plan. We're
right.
not going to let you know the plan, but we have a plan. They almost made it sound like...
They do like to tell what the plan is, so it's not like that would be completely wrong, but yeah.
But I don't believe they had clear benchmarks of dates and performances and things of that nature. I think they were flying by the seat of their pants and adjusting as they went and even debating as they went. I think the collaboration was probably debating this behind the scenes every single day. Even this week, when Mayo said, "I haven't had a full staff meeting yet," that was his answer mm-hmm. to the Greg Hill show on Monday morning
yep.
about the quarterback position. I think there was some truth to that. I think there was some truth that we're still debating, we're still figuring it out. So the plan is to figure it out when I have a staff meeting.
All right, 617-779-7937 is the phone number. I'll tell you who thinks this is the right move. And that is Houston Texans quarterback C.J. Stroud, who said that he thinks May is the most NFL-ready quarterback. Now, he said this before anybody played, so
yep.
maybe he was rethinking this after watching Jaden Daniels for a couple of weeks. But that's what Stroud said. We'll hear that, and we'll talk about this matchup with the Houston Texans right after this.